Hey there, Mike.
Hey.
So, once again, we find ourselves in a situation where we're kind of between recordings and, you know, once again, we're trying to, we're recording this so that we can just kind of chat about things. Because we just got finished, and unfortunately we didn't record any of this, but we just got finished talking a little bit about Tapbots and Tweetbot and whatnot. Should have recorded that.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting conversation, you know. But, I mean, there's so much else happening. But basically, I want to just recap that conversation real quick because people are going to be like, yeah. Oh, man, what a tease, man.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that to us, man? Right, of course, I'm only talking about our Californian listeners. You're harshing my mellow, dude.
Medical marijuana.
Yeah, so there we go. We just lost all of our California listeners, Mike.
Sorry, California listeners. We love you.
It's my fault. So basically, Tweetbot came out. And it's like it's the second coming of Twitter Christ, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is the so much hope and promise and speculation was put into this app. Because Tapbots is known for making beautiful, beautiful iPhone apps.
Yeah.
That up until now have been fairly, fairly simplistic. They've got I won't say simplistic in a bad way. I mean,
they're single function applications.
They're kind of single function applications.
Calcbot, Waitbot, and ConvertBot.
Yeah.
They do, so you've got a calculator, a weight tracking application, a Pastebot as well.
Oh, yeah, Pastebot.
Clipboard manager. Pastebot. Yeah, and the conversion. So I think they said it themselves, they've been focused on things that they serve a specific purpose, not something as broad as a Twitter client, which is a big application, I would assume.
Yeah.
I'm not a developer, don't ever claim to be one, but I can't imagine it's easy because you're working with another API as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, and I agree. It's probably not easy at all. And certainly far beyond, I think, anything that they've tackled before. And it was met with, wildly joyous reception. It seems almost mm-hmm. universally loved by everybody.
Yep.
Except for Mr. Benjamin Brooks and Marco Arment, who decided
which, as of day of recording today is the day that the four of them laid a bit of a smackdown on each other.
Yeah, kind of on Twitter, basically, and on their sites, kind of doing, basically the triple tag team match of the century. because Ben is an opinionated guy, and mm-hmm. And a lot of people might argue that he's somewhat of a contrarian, but what I love about Ben is that Ben isn't contrary just to be contrary. If he doesn't think if something is all that great or especially better than anything else that's out there, he'll come out and say it, and he has no problem defending that point.
And it's good to have someone in the blogosphere that's like that, who doesn't just pander and is nice because they don't want to upset anybody.
Yeah.
It's good to have people like that.
I think the problem is, of course, is that, either A, you come from the standpoint of, the good guys, quote-unquote, come from the standpoint of, well, if you have nothing nice to say, just don't say anything at all. Right. And then you've got the quote unquote trolls that seem to just snark on things to snark on them because that's how they derive joy and pleasure in life, is by, knocking everyone else down below them.
Yep.
And I think that the bins of this world are rare in that he's one of the good guys who doesn't believe in not saying anything when you have nothing nice to say. right? You know, if he has an opinion about something, he states it, and he doesn't do it just to knock people down. He doesn't do it just to he comes with very reasoned arguments, and his argument against TapBots was mainly featured around the idea that as a Twitter client, sure, it looks great, but does it really bring anything that any other Twitter client hasn't already brought to the table? Is it so groundbreaking that, or doing something in such a different way that it warrants leaving the Twitter client that you have and are comfortable with already?
Mm.
And his answer to that was no. That it's not. That it is, in fact, no matter how good it looks, just another Twitter client.
And we were talking before, and I'll repeat it, so sorry you have to hear this again, Pat.
No, it's all
right. But I'm currently working on a review of myself, which I'm writing for MacGasm, which probably won't be up by the time this show comes out. Maybe, maybe not. If it is, it'll be in the show notes. If it's not, then follow me on Twitter at imike, imyke, and I will post when it's up. I'm thinking about hinging it on the positive of that argument, in being that no, it doesn't add anything, but that means that it does everything I need it to do. Tweety did everything I needed it to do in a Twitter client. It was the perfect Twitter client in a way for the features that it offered, and for me, Tweetbot has every single feature that I needed to have, but does it in a UI that is absolutely stunning, completely custom, which is why they're unable to they weren't able to put in things like landscape in version 1, because they would have had to have completely designed the UI in the other orientation, and it would have taken even longer to get out. But there are things about the app which make me feel like a complete power user. I love the sounds, because they give me notification to know that something's done. I don't have to sit and wait to check that I've posted a tweet, posted that reply, retweeted this, because there are sounds that are occurring. For example, if something doesn't post, a beautiful little red bar will come up at the top and tell me that that's not happened. I've been using the app solidly since it came out, which is a week, but that can get a lot of use for me. It has never once lost my place in my timeline, and that is a massive thing for me, because I like to be able to go through and read my tweets. I follow people who I want to read, so I like to read everything-ish, or at least have the opportunity to. Now, for example, the Twitter app did that far too often for me. It feels like everything was thought out really well, implemented fantastically. So that's why for me it got a massive thumbs up straight on the home screen day one.
Well, and for me, you know, I think it's a matter of, you know, granted, you know, UI is not a compelling feature for some people, and maybe not for Ben, but for me, it's a hugely compelling feature. If I don't like the way something looks, I just plain won't use it, and I won't invest the time in it, and I actually will avoid using it, you know, and, even to the extent of when, you know, SimpleNote first came out and its horrible icon, you know, we talked about this on the previous, on the episode where we had Matthew.
23.
Yeah. 23. Matthew Bischoff talking about QuoteBook. But, back in the day, he and I kind of had a little campaign to try to raise money to pay for a designer to get SimpleNote a better icon, because I couldn't stand having it on my home screen because of the icon, right? You know?
And then if you move an app like that away from the home screen, then it loses a lot of its usefulness.
Yeah, and also I use it a lot less, right?
Yep, yep.
You know, and you don't want people to cringe every time they go to click something, right? Yeah, so I think, I don't know. Yeah, for me, the UI, the custom UI, the beautiful user interface is definitely one of the compelling features for me, no question about it.
But in the same vein, I think that what Marco and especially what Ben have written is fantastic stuff, and I can see the points and appreciate the points, and they're great points, and some I agree with, but overall, I think that, you know, we just have a different view on it.
Yeah.
As Ben has said, and Marco has said as well, they do not hate the application. They actually both like the application and see its merits. It's just not for them. And, maybe I'm treading places I shouldn't tread, but I don't think they should be criticised for that.
No,
personally,
not at all.
That is their opinion.
Yeah.
And you telling them, not you, or anybody, this is not focused at anyone, but people telling them they're wrong is their opinion also, and they and those people are entitled to have that opinion.
Yeah.
In the same way that Ben and Marco and anybody else are entitled to have their opinion. It's just unfortunate / fortunate that their opinions are read by a lot more people.
The problem, of course, is that there are so many people in this world that confuse opinion with fact, right? And that think that something that they believe is just because they believe it or because it's written in a book somewhere or whatever that it is in fact a fact, right? I'm about to step on so many toes, starting with my mom, but this is the best example that I can give. We used to do a lot of car trips when I was younger, and it just so happened that my mom and my stepdad and myself and my mom's best friend for many years, he's passed away now, Phil, we're all driving from New York City down to New Orleans. And so, we'd often, tell stories, pass time, and do all sorts of things. But we were playing the game of 21 questions. Are you familiar with this game as a Brit?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it mineral, vegetable?
Yeah. Basically, the person chooses something and you have 21 questions to try to guess what it is, right?
Yeah. There's a great iPhone app that does that. Unbelievable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You think of something and it can guess it. I'll find it and I'll send you a link.
It's
like magic.
Add that to the show notes.
Yeah.
Plus I got download it and try it out. So we're driving once and we're playing 21 questions and is this a famous person? Yes, from this like a person who's famous as like a celebrity, or is this like a historically famous? Historically, no, right? We go through all this list of things. And it turns out that my mom had chosen Eve as the answer. Eve of Adam and Eve, of the Bible Eve, right?
Right, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
And this led into a whole very heated hour and a half long, it seemed, discussion with Phil, who was like, you said it was a real person. Eve is not a real, just back and forth. And it's because to my mom, Eve was a real person.
And to many others, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And there's also nothing wrong with Phil's assertion that, no, that's a fictional character, and if I had known that, I might have had a possibility of winning the game. But it's, the game becomes immediately unfair when you answer, one of the questions incorrectly, because it throws, it keeps people from being able to guess who it is. And that's a key piece of information that, and I think that a lot of people approach opinions that way, right?
Yeah.
That they think just because they believe it, or I would say even more so, because it is almost universally agreed that something is one way, that the one person who comes along and says, no, I think it's the other way, is attacked. And that's... there's just something inherently wrong with that.
I agree. Yeah. No, definitely.
So, that's one of the interesting things we've been tracking today. What else are you up to?
Ooh, That's an interesting question.
Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have asked it.
Oh, I'll tell you what I am doing, actually. And this will be... I'm going to be a guest on a show, which is quite exciting for me.
Wow.
Which, providing that I've... this episode will probably go out on Thursday the 21st.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, might as well put it out Thursday the 21st. Shuffle things around because it's topical. There's a show called Bagel Tech Mac. There's a podcasting network called the Bagel Tech Network, and they're based in the UK. And on the Mac show, Don McAllister from Screencast Online is a frequent, and sometimes Andy Nutco is on. Unfortunately, he will not be on, which I'm gutted about. I would have loved to have been able to speak to him, but the guy at Ewan, who runs the network, has asked me. Well, we were talking, and he asked if I wanted to come on a show. It's the first time I've been as a guest, so it's quite a cool thing for me.
Wow, that's kind of exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. So check it out. It's I think the website is bageltechmac.com.
All right. When will that be up?
Well, we're recording on Friday, so I think they usually get it out the same day.
Okay. All right.
So
for the podcast notes, we won't be able to put a link directly to the show, but we'll be able to, you know, link to the site, and they should be able.
Yeah,
to
find exactly. Yeah, already. Yeah. We'll link to it, and then it'll be on there. But yeah, so that's just something I thought I'd say for people that want to hear what I'm like as a guest other than a host, which can be really weird.
Yeah.
Because I've guested on the MacGasm podcast once, but I'm kind of involved in it, so it's...
Yeah, so it's not really quite the same thing, yeah. Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, I'm going to be... Mike Vardy of the Work Awesome podcast, which... great podcast series. Where he interviews all these people about just kind of, you know, the way that they work, and kind of, you know, how they get things done and make things a little bit more efficient. And I mean, if you're the sort of person that likes kind of getting a peek, quote unquote, into other people's systems, it's a podcast that's made for you. And I'm one of those people, right? And he's interviewed everyone from like he's had, you know, Sean Block on there, and, you know, he's had me on there, and James Shelley, who, you know, I think is probably the next closest thing to God, in my book. But David Allen of, you know, like of Getting Things Done fame. I mean, he's had David Allen on there, you know. I mean, everyone from, like, the people that no one knows about, like me, all the way up to, like, a guy like David Allen that, like, you know, everyone knows, right? So, yeah, really good. But he's apparently doing this interview series about people and their home screens, their iPhone home screens, and what apps make it onto their home screen and why and that sort of thing. And so, like, he's doing a bunch of these interviews, and I don't know if it'll all be, like, pasted together into one thing or it'll be separate things. I have no idea. But, so he's going to interview me about kind of my home screen process and what's on there and why and
is
how
that gonna
I
be in audio?
How I decided what was going to be on and what wasn't going to be on. Yeah, I think so. All I know is we're recording on Thursday as well, Thursday morning, and I don't know when that'll be done and out, but, you know, I certainly will link to it when it happens. Mm. Because obviously I'm going to talk about my home screen experiment that I did, it's got to be a year ago now. I'd have to look it up on the site, where basically I removed everything from my home screen.
Yeah, we spoke about that before, didn't we?
Yeah, and then what ended up back on my home screen was the... you know, the 9 apps that I found I used the most, you know, like basically, you know, when I needed to use an app, I first went and moved it to the home screen because, like, okay, obviously if that's the one I'm going for first, I likely go for that a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. And yeah, I don't know how many people take such approaches, you know, kind of weird like that. I like to,
Terry did that.
Yeah.
He did that because he wiped his iPhone, and then when he got the MacBook Air as well.
Yeah.
We spoke about it with him a couple of episodes ago, but yeah, that's what he did. He did the same with his iPhone. He just wiped it and then just started adding things as he needed them. Yeah. And he's got, like, barely any applications. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that brings me to a larger point of why don't people ask themselves why more? You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
I don't understand that. I ask myself why all the time. Maybe it comes from being around a 3-year-old, which, you know, I mean, that's pretty much everything is a why, you know? So you kind of get used to, like, you know. What kind of bird is that? That's a robin. Why? You know?
You know, this comes from having a young daughter, though, I think.
Yeah.
She probably asks why a lot.
Yeah. That's exactly it. She asks why all the time. And you know, yeah. And I ask why all the time, too. You know, but I kind of ask it about myself and my own practices and my own, like, you know, why? Why do I need text mate when I've got text edit? Why do I, you know, why do I have these apps on my home screen? Have I really thought about whether or not these are the right apps to have, you know?
Yeah.
I ask myself these questions a lot, and, you know, some may argue, gosh, you know, it sure seems like you're... But I'm just trying to put some thought into this. I don't want something to be a certain way just because it's that certain way. I want to kind of know that way is the right way. And I want to know it's the right way through, you know, iterative A-B testing, you know? Mm-hmm. I wish more people did that. World would be a different place, I think.
Very different. And you would be the king of it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'd wear a freaking morning coat to... people would wear morning coats to my wedding. Let me just, say that. reference to an earlier conversation about Mike's PM, which we probably can't have because, well, in this country, they actually kettle people for.
Yeah, I'll be dragged out of my house, kicking and screaming.
Yeah, locked up in the tower somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah, but they don't do that anymore, do they?
I hope not.
Not that we're aware of.
Yeah.
Oh well. Well, I think we've exhausted this rambling episode.
Maybe so.
But, you know, I think the response we get to these is pretty good, generally.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? You know what I would like to know, actually? If we haven't spoken about this, if you feel this is maybe a way that we should consider going with the show, then let us know.
Yeah. I mean, because we've actually talked about the idea of hope. Because sometimes, like today... you know, because as I've discussed many times before, we record these things in batches. You know, we recorded with Sean Block today, and those episodes I think are going to be upcoming. I think they're going to be after this
next week.
They're going to be next week. But Sean and Mike and I had the most amazing conversations that we had with Sean before we even hit the button. Right? And there were, like, even a couple of times during the conversation, like, damn, we should be recording this. you know, I mean, maybe that's a way to go. And, yeah, so if you think it is, just let us know. You know, shoot us a message on Twitter. I'm Patrick Rohn, all one string, PATRICKRHONE.
Rohone.
And then Rohone, yes. And then there's iMike, iMyke, you know, because he's got to stand out from the crowd.
Yep.
And, you know.
I'll just move the I to somewhere else and chuck the Y in.
Yeah, there you go. And so, you know, of course, email is always good. If you search around my website at Minimal Mac, you'll find my email quick enough. Just, send us some feedback. Let us know if you kind of like these rambling episodes where we talk about all sorts of subjects under the sun. Because, you know, we'll keep continuing to record them because sometimes we have a good time doing them. Let me just say that much. So. All right, Mike. Well, I guess we better get back to work. So, you know, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. All
right, cheers. Bye.